Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschichadishta Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai Gaur Premanande. All right, devotees, so here we are. We are in Shiva Loka. We are there in Shiva Loka. Narada Muni is speaking to his brother, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva has just been denying that he is the real recipient of the Lord's mercy. And we got up to verse 42. We got up to verse 42, in which Lord Shiva tells, what was it, 43 actually? No, 42. We got up to 42. Yeah, we're going to carry on from 43. But we got up to 42, in which Lord Shiva makes the point that you were saying, Lord Shiva tells Narada, that you were saying that I got special mercy from the Lord because I give liberation, and my wife also, the two of us give liberation. But don't you know that the devotees, they completely reject liberation. And so us giving liberation for them, that turns them against us. They think, who is this Lord Shiva and Parvati giving this stupid liberation? That's not good. Yeah, so that's how Lord Shiva concludes his, you could say, trying to correct Narada Muni with this idea that he has that he, Lord Shiva, has got the Lord's mercy in this way and that way and so many different ways, but ultimately, particularly, he has power of attorney from the Lord to give liberation on behalf of the Lord. So that's the end of that discussion. So now, starting with verse 43, Lord Shiva suggests that, you know, who's really got the mercy? You know who's really got the mercy? It is the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Yes, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. For various reasons, it should be understood that they are the ones who really have the mercy. So then, starting with verse 43, starting with verse 43, Lord Shiva starts explaining the glories of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. And this will take us actually from verse 43 to verse 63. It's essentially Lord Shiva in different ways presenting to Narada Muni how it is that the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are the true recipients of the Lord's mercy, the recipients of the greatest of the Lord's mercy, far more than anyone else. Okay, so let's read through these verses then. Starting with verse 43. They have given up everything as worthless as straw. Worshipping their dear Lord Hari in pure devotion, they have no respect for the desirable achievements of this world. They will not even glance at these perfections. This is amazing, isn't it? It's one thing to be, you know, as many devotees are, not too much influenced or practically not influenced by the attractions of this material world. That's one thing to be able to sort of handle it, manage in this material world without becoming too bewildered by the attractive features of it. But the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they have no interest in any of these things. Just like no one is interested in some straw. What does straw mean? It means grass, which has been dried and like really just left out to dry. And so all the goodness of the grass has been drained out. And therefore, even the animals won't eat it. The animals would like some tasty grass, green grass, but straw means grass, which has gone yellow and dry and it's got no vitality left. I remember when I remember when we had a farm in Cato Ridge. I was there for a couple of years. And we had like 35 cows and some bullocks. And sometimes we would be given some straw. And sometimes we tried to feed the straw to the cows, and they just sort of sniff at it and just look away because it's got no vitality. So we would sometimes put molasses on the straw, and molasses is a derivative of sugar cane. So it's got some sweetness. And oh, then the cows would eat the straw because it was the molasses, the sweet, sugary taste, somewhat sugary taste of molasses. But otherwise they wouldn't look at the straw. So here, Lord Shiva says that the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they give up all the features, all the attractive things of this world, as being as worthless as straw is just got nothing to offer. And how is it that they can do that? So the next sentence in the verse 43 says, worshipping their dear Lord Hari in pure devotion, they have no respect for the desirable achievements of this world. They will not even glance at those perfections. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. The point is that because of their absorption in pure devotional service, unadulterated, uncontaminated by even a hint of anything material. Therefore, because they're worshipping the Lord in that mood of pure devotion, then they couldn't care about the so-called wonderful things of this world. As the verse says, they have no respect for the desirable achievements of this world, name and fame and fortune. They have no respect for these things. They're just like rubbish. Who has respect for rubbish? No normal person. For any normal person, rubbish is rubbish to be thrown away. And that's how the Vaikuntha residents feel about this material world and all of the so-called attractive features within it. To the point that they don't even look at they don't even glance momentarily at these things. Their consciousness is just absorbed in the Lord. There's a nice verse in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Dalalera Gita, in which he's talking about Lord Nityananda. He says that Lord Nityananda, Ekba dekle chake jal. No, that's not the... Anyway, Lord Nityananda, if he sees a tear in your eye when you chant the name Gaura, if he sees one little tear of transcendental ecstasy in your eye when you chant the name Gaura, then he doesn't care about who you are, what you are. The verse says, Jati dan vidya bala na kore apeksha. Jati, your birth. Dan, your wealth. Vidya, your education, material education. Bala, your material strength. Jati dan vidya bala Nakore apeksha. Apeksha means he just doesn't care. He just doesn't even notice. It's not that he looks at it and thinks, well, no, we won't bother with that. He just doesn't even register. What is your situation in terms of birth, wealth, education, and your power, your material power, doesn't register. That's because the devotees have the higher taste. Devotees have the higher taste. Not just devotees, but the more advanced the devotees, the more they have the higher taste. The more they have the higher taste. And then they just don't even notice. Like I said, It's not like they see it, they notice it, but then they think, no, I won't bother with that. They don't even see it because they're so absorbed in getting the higher taste in the association of the Lord and in the service of the Lord. Yeah. So, verse 44, these devotees have abandoned every kind of false pride, and they have attained the world beyond the material modes and devoid of all fear, Vaikuntha, which is Satchitananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Yes, so they've totally abandoned every kind of false pride. Abandon, you know, we talk about this term abandon from time to time because Srila Prabhupada has chosen that word as one of the main words in his translation of Bhagavad Gita 18, chapter 18, verse 66, such a famous verse, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Eshami Mashuchaha. You all know that verse. Prabhupada translates that Krishna is saying, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. And this word, abandon, as an English word, it's a very powerful word. It's a very heavy word, actually. Very dramatic word. Just abandon. It's not like give up. Well, it's a much stronger version of the term give up. And abandon is famously used when a ship is sinking and the captain or somebody is just screaming out to everyone to get off the ship now. And what does he say? Abandon ship, abandon ship, abandon ship. He doesn't just say, get off the ship, or I think you should leave the ship. He doesn't say that. It's far more dramatic. Abandon, it's like, just jump. Just jump and just get off it. Because it's going down. So similarly, these devotees in Vaikuntha, they have just abandoned false pride, material pride, because they see. Well, on one hand, they see themselves as being very small in front of the Lord. Who are we in front of the Lord? We are nothing. So therefore, in that sense, the idea of me being proud because I'm a very special person in some way or other in material life, that idea is just completely out. And because they're so engaged in devotional service, and they're getting so much ecstasy from it. And on the other hand, they see how useless is material pride. So therefore, Lord Shiva says, these devotees in Vaikuntha have just abandoned every kind of false pride, just thrown it away. Yeah. And they have attained the world beyond the material modes and devoid of all fear. Vaikuntha, which is Satchitananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So there's a purport here. And it's a somewhat substantial purport. it's not massive, but it's longer than usual. So let's have a look through this purport. It's very interesting. Okay. So I'm going to read part of it. The residents of Vaikuntha are greater not only than the materialists, the candidates for liberation, and the liberated, but even than Lord Shiva. They're greater even than Lord Shiva, who is the giver of liberation. They're really great. According to his own view of himself, Lord Shiva is subject to the influence of false ego, whereas the devotees in Vaikuntha are free from this defect. By virtue of this freedom from false pride, Vaishnavas attain Vaikuntha, which in spite of being a particular place, is not temporary and illusory, like the places of the material world. So it has none of the restrictions, the shortcomings, the failings, the defects of this material world. So it's such an amazing, incredible place that if anyone goes there, it's just like never-ending ecstasy with absolutely nothing to do with material life at all. So here in the purport, our BBT commentators particularly, Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu, they have quoted some verses for us from Shastra, which describe in very clear ways how extraordinary is that Vaikuntha place. So I want to read some of those verses also. This is now from Brahmanda Purana. So Vaikuntha, it is the abode of countless spiritual qualities, a world of unapproachable supreme light. It cannot be perceived by material senses, nor compared to anything known. It is supremely ecstatic and beyond the scope of the senses. And here are two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which they have quoted. This is the second canto, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, the personality of Godhead was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, this transcendental abode of the Lord, is adored by all self-realized persons who are freed from all the miseries. Who are freed from all miseries and fear of illusory existence. In that personal abode of the Lord, in that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region without discrimination. Both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Well, that's interesting. The demigods and the demons worship the devotees. Anyway, in Vaikuntha, sometimes everyone's a devotee. It goes without saying. But sometimes some devotees, just for the sake of pastimes, may dress up as demons. So the purport concludes, these verses identify Vaikuntha with the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgent light of the all-pervading Supreme. With the eye of intelligence, self-satisfied sages, munis, envision Vaikuntha, but they are not fit to achieve it. Anyway, okay. Verse 45. In Vaikuntha, the residents have Satchitananda bodies and may avail themselves of the supreme opulence of Lord Hari. They have Satchitananda powers equal to his. But the residents of Vaikuntha do not like to accept such equality with the Lord. This is all because of their pure devotion. That's all. It's all because of their pure devotion. So, their bodies are completely spiritual. Nothing to do with the material, with material bodies, senses, or life here. And the verse says that they may have some of the opulence of the Lord. And they may have powers equal to his, but they don't like to accept such equality. They would rather remain as the humble servants. Yes. The purport says, each resident has more power and wealth than are available in millions of material universes and their covering shells. Yeah. That's amazing. Each resident has more power and wealth than are available in millions of material universes. What do you think of that, devotees? It's just another world, another world. These opulences, which the Vaikuntha residents achieve without effort and without limitations, are spiritual, eternal, and absolutely real. They are expansions of the Supreme Lord's divine energy. And so they're all infinitely desirable and full of variety. Yes. It's just amazing. Vaikuntha. And Lord Shiva continues. They are satisfied simply to worship Lord Hari with devotion. They travel freely wherever they want, protecting and promoting the cause of the Lord's devotees and the Lord's devotional service. So, nothing other than devotional service pleases them. Yeah. They, They don't want, they're not interested in anything else. They travel freely, protecting the devotees, promoting the cause of the devotees, and promoting devotional service. They sometimes come to the material world. And for what? Not to enjoy life, but to help the fallen conditioned souls by giving them Krishna consciousness. In fact, we're going to see, I think it's in the next chapter. Anyway, it's coming up shortly, maybe the next chapter. It's the second part. It's the second part. Get the story of Gopikumar. Gopikumar is on the way to Vaikuntha, or he's somewhere out there, and who should he meet but a band of devotees from Vaikuntha? And where are they going? They're going to the material world to preach, to help the fallen conditioned souls. So they travel freely wherever they want. But what does that mean? They go to preach. It's not that they travel freely, you know, to go on holiday to America and Australia and Europe and India and just travel around freely, having a good time, so to speak. They travel freely wherever they like to preach. That's all. For no other purpose. And in this way, they help people and bring them to Krishna consciousness. So, let me just read a little here. The Vaikuntha Vasis encourage the descent of advanced devotees into saintly families. They act for the increased prosperity and influence of those devotees and render unseen help to the devotees' preaching, by which more and more conditioned jivas are brought back to Krishna consciousness. Isn't that amazing? Had you thought about that? That's a really interesting idea. That devotees are preaching, advanced devotees are preaching, and the Vaikuntha Vasis make unseen arrangements for the increased prosperity and influence of those devotees and render unseen help, unseen, from behind the scenes, invisibly. They make different arrangements in the material world to facilitate the preaching of the advanced devotees who are preaching in the material world. Yes. So, and because the residents of Vaikuntha are free from the restrictions of karma, their efforts never go in vain. Text 47. Always worshipping the Lord in Vaikuntha, they seem amused by those who are merely liberated. The Vaikuntha Vasis are always busy in various services, for which they even take on forms like those of birds and trees. So, yes, they're experiencing such ecstasy from their service to the Lord and their personal relationships with the Lord and their personal arrangements with each other in their mutual services to the Lord. So when they see people who are striving for impersonal liberation, or even people who are actually impersonally liberated, they're amused. It's funny. Oh my God, what is this? Sorry, I'm just switching it off. Switching off the sound. Is everything okay on Zoom? Someone send me a little message in the chat. Everything okay? Anyway, someone was trying to call me out from Russia. On WhatsApp. But no one said anything, so I think it's okay. And on Facebook too. All right, so we continue. We continue. Yes, so the Vaikunthavasis, when they see people who are actually liberated, impersonally liberated, then they are amused. What are these foolish people doing? And what to speak of when they see people who are trying to become impersonally liberated. It's absurd. It's truly absurd. And 48. They can always see him in person, Lord Hari, who inspires everyone's pleasure and whose lotus feet are cared for by the goddess of fortune. Their life in his company is pure joy. Can you imagine, devotees, to actually see him personally and to see him in person always? Well, that's what it's like for the Vaikunthavasis. And therefore, their life in his company is pure joy. They can always see him in person, Lord Hari, who inspires everyone's pleasure and whose lotus feet are cared for by the goddess of fortune. Their life in his company is pure joy. So, yes, it is truly amazing, absolutely, unbelievably, incredibly amazing, the situation there in Vaikuntha. So, yes. So there's a purport here. The devotees in Vaikuntha, they feel compassion for the impersonalists. But sometimes that while they're serving the Lord in great ecstasy and enthusiasm, then they ridicule the impersonalists. Well, you know what it says? The devotees ridicule the impersonalists by taking on the forms of animals, birds, and plants. And impersonalists cannot understand the difference between the tamasic forms of life in the material world and the transcendental varieties in Vaikuntha. So, therefore, the devotees make fun of the impersonalists by taking on spiritual forms like animals, birds, etc. But they're not like animals or birds. They're still totally transcendental devotees of the Lord. Still, Vaikuntha devotees never actually make fun of others to belittle them, because devotees are always kind to the fallen. The Vaikuntha devotees never indulge in useless frivolity, like whimsical entertainment for enjoyment, which is a deviation from the mood of pure devotion. So, yes, in Vaikuntha, there are many kinds of animals and plants, and they all enthusiastically serve the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is quoted here. This is the third canto, chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. I'll just read the translations. This is describing the scene in Vaikuntha. When the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. This is when the king of bees hums in a high pitch, humming the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna. The flowering plants like the arna, kunda, utpala, champaka, bakula, Ambuja, Mandara, Punaga, Kurabaka, Parijata, and Nagakeshara are full of transcendental fragrance, but still they are conscious of the austerities performed by Tulsi. For Tulsi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulsi leaves. So, and there's one technical point of Sanskrit grammar here. I don't know if you remember when we read through the verse, that the verse says, they can always see him in person, not sometimes, occasionally, once or twice, always. So the point of Sanskrit grammar is that Lord Shiva uses the present form of the verb. The verb itself is actually pashyati, to see. Pashyati, to see. So the form of the verb used is sampashyanta, sampashyanta, which is the, what would you call it? It means seeing in an ongoing sense, not to see like, you know, I see you walk across the road or something, but I see all the time. We are seeing life in this material world. We see it every day. It's not we just see it one time for a moment. Sampashyanta means that they are seeing just on an ongoing basis. This indicates the Vaikuntha devotees see the Lord without interruption. And Lord Shiva says this. By saying this, he's implying that he only sees the Lord infrequently from time to time. And then he only sees him within his heart. So this is a big difference from the experience of the residents of Vaikuntha. So we continue, verse 49. Ah, where else can one see compassion so exalted as that which Sri Krishna showered constantly on the residents of Vaikuntha Loka? Okay, so we continue on. Verse 15. In Vaikuntha, nothing exists except devotional service, rendered through Sankirtan and in many other forms. It goes on incessantly with great enthusiasm, spreading the ecstasy of pure love. So that's interesting. The verse itself mentions Sankirtan. Yasmin Mahamudashrantam Prabho Sankirtanad Bi. So they're all worshipping him with great enthusiasm. Mahamuda, with great enthusiasm. Ashrantam, incessantly. Prabho Sankirtanad Bi, by Sankirtan of the Lord. So, Purport says, devotees in the spiritual world never tire of chanting the Supreme Lord's glories and singing and dancing for his pleasure. There, prema bhakti is the only activity. Anything anyone does in Vaikuntha is pure service and nothing else. Because all the residents are fixed unswervingly in bhakti. So, let's have a look. Okay. So that was 50, verse 51. How amazing is that supremely great ocean of transcendental bliss. The bliss of Brahman cannot compare to even a fraction of half a drop of it. Yes. Well, you know what Srila Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion? When we were studying Nectar of Devotion, we did see this and we talked about this. He says that the ecstasy of pure devotion compared to the whatever pleasure a person gets out of impersonal liberation, he says the ecstasy of pure devotion is like an unlimited ocean compared to the pleasure of impersonal realization, which he says is just like the amount of water in the hoof print of a calf compared to an unlimited ocean. There's just some fantastic difference. It's completely, it's not twice, it's not 10 times, it's not 100, it's not 1,000,000. It's some vast, vast differences there. Yes. So compared to the joy of sharing one's personal relationship with the Supreme Lord, Brahmananda, in the impersonal sense, is insignificant. Verse 52, the Vaikuntha world, its residents, and everything there are blessed by the mercy of pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna. And indirectly, Lord Shiva is making the point that just see, my planet, Shiva Loka, it's not like that. It's not like that. It doesn't have that blessing of Krishna Prema. 53. As recipients of such mercy, the divine residents of Vaikuntha are much greater than I in many ways. How can I adequately describe their glories? So, yes, in the verse 53 itself, the term was used, Srimat Vaikuntha Vasinam. Srimat means divine, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the divine story of Bhagavat, of the Supreme Bhagavan. So the divine Vaikuntha Vasi, transcendental residence of Vaikuntha, they have so much more mercy than me too, boy, I tell you what. But Lord Shiva is saying that as recipients of such mercy, the divine residents of Vaikuntha are much greater than me in many ways. How can I adequately describe their glories? So every resident there is Sriman. Sriman is the root form. Means entirely favored by the goddess of fortune. And therefore, as related to something we read a few verses before, therefore, each one of them has access to the full wealth and power found in millions of material universes. Hare Krishna. Isn't this is just completely amazing? But because the Vaikuntha Vasis are pure devotees, they prefer not to take advantage of these blessings for anything except the opportunity to serve their Lord. Ah, Krishna, it is amazing. This distinguishes them from the conditioned souls of the material world. So, Hare Krishna devotees, we will carry on. We will continue tomorrow evening. We have done verse 53. We'll continue on tomorrow with verse 54. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.